It was a couple of years ago now that you might have read in the Evening Standard, just the same as I did, about a father who was helping his teenage daughter doing her homework one evening, whilst mum was out doing some much necessary last minute Christmas shopping. They were busy doing some maths or whatever it was. But the girl got a text from mum saying, "What do you want from life?" Now, father and daughter hadn't really sort of had this chat before, but the article said it led to quite a special time of sort of a father-daughter bonding. They chatted about boys and soul-searching, and they chatted about money and marriage. But it was all brought to a bit of an abrupt end when the girl got another text message from mum again. "Sorry, annoying predictive text. What do you want from Lidl?" I should say we've no commercial affiliations here. There are other supermarkets available. But what that mum asked her daughter by accident, I would love to ask you this afternoon on purpose. What do you want from life? In a room this size, we'll lay claim to all sorts of answers. But the claim of the first Christmas is that Jesus offers all of us profound and everlasting joy. It's there in his birth announcement. I'd love you to take up your Luke's Gospels if you put them down. It's there in the birth announcement that Ruth just read to us. It's on page 6 in this little Luke's Gospel. Chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, just skipping down on page 6 to verse 10. "But the angel said to them, a messenger of God said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you.'" It's quite a claim, isn't it? Joy for all people. Joy to the world. We've sung it with gusto. What announcement could possibly have the details answered? Joy for all, rich or poor, young or old, anywhere in the world. One piece of news. What a claim. Where will we find that joy? Well, lots of us will find it, of course, in the spirit of Christmas. All the toys and the trappings and the trimmings that we love. Rightly so. And we hope to play our part for you this afternoon in that. It's brilliant you're here celebrating with us. But we do have a more ambitious aim. That you would also know not simply that the spirit of Christmas, but the spirit of Christ. Because Jesus, as we've heard, came as a Savior, and he fulfills our deepest longing and meets our greatest need. Let me just briefly explain those two things. How does Jesus fulfill our deepest longing? Back in 1977, NASA launched their Voyager space program. Those shuttles sent to the edges of our solar system to send back photographs and data, and they're still going strong. But on board are some gold records, and they were put on there to broadcast messages on behalf of humanity to anything and anyone that finds them and cares to play them. And one of the messages on board is simply the word longing. Longing. Longing, repeated over and over some classical music. That is humanity, according to NASA, in one word, should those little green men find it. That's who we are, longing, says NASA. But we are creatures of longing, aren't we? Often we'll look to things we can buy. It's Christmas, a little retail therapy, if whether we're spending it or receiving it. And yet, we're always left wanting more. Or other things in life. Education, career, family, relationships, our homes, our holidays. Wonderful things that many of us here will be privileged to enjoy. And yet, at some point, for lots of people, usually around midlife, there's a moment of disillusionment. Either because we fulfilled all our ambitions and they just don't stack up. Or we haven't and it looks very unlikely we will. Perhaps you know that feeling. See, humanity, we are unique. Other creatures have desires. When they are met, they're satisfied. Silly example, but you take our cat. You put down fresh food and fresh water and a spot on the sofa by the fire. I'm no Dr. Doolittle, but she seems pretty happy. I'm pretty sure that if it wasn't for the fact that she needs someone to open the packet of food, she'd be happy if we weren't around. But you and I, we can have all our desires and ambitions met and yet remain dissatisfied. Why is that? Well, the Bible says, as we've heard in some of our readings, it's because we're not just material beings, but spiritual beings. It was there in the first reading. Dan read from the first book of the Bible. Humanity created by God. Why? To know and relate and enjoy God. And so the birth of Jesus is proclaimed by those angels as good news, causing great joy for all people. Because as we heard in the other birth announcement, it's Jesus who is God with us. Jesus, who alone restores the relationship that we've been made for. Jesus, who alone, therefore, will satisfy our very deepest longing. Some of you might have heard of Malcolm Muggeridge. He was a successful and renowned journalist back in sort of the mid-20th century. And quite late on in life, he became a Christian. And he wrote these words. Let me just read something he wrote. "I may, I suppose, regard myself as a relatively successful man. People tend to stare. That's fame. I fairly easily now earn enough to pay the highest rate of tax. That, I'm told, is success. With my money and a little fame, even the elderly like me can partake of trendy diversions. That is pleasure. It might happen that once in a while, something I wrote made an impact upon our time. That is fulfillment. Yet I say to you, and beg you to believe, multiply these tiny triumphs of mine by a million and add them all together, and they are nothing and less than nothing when measured against the one draught of that living water that only Jesus offers to the spiritually thirsty." You see, Jesus is good news, causing great joy for all people, because he alone is God with us. He alone fulfills our deepest longing. But that is a fulfillment that we'll only know and only feel when we recognize that it is only Jesus who meets our greatest need. I heard a story of an elderly chap who was looking in the mirror one morning, a little bit dissatisfied, and said, "Just look at me. Hair and teeth falling out, tummy sticking out, knees giving way." And his wife was in the bed just next to him, just reading a book, and didn't say a word. And he carried on. And after a few moments, he turned to his wife and said, "Can you not say something encouraging, dear?" And apparently she turned and gently replied, "Well, at least your eyes are working okay." I don't know what you think when you look in the mirror. Let me say you scrub up very well for Christmas indeed. But what about when we dare to look a little deeper under the skin? What do we see there? Well, of course, we're capable of much, much good. Much love and kindness, friendship, loyalty, laughter, generosity. Lots of the things lots of us will be able to enjoy at Christmas. But I don't know about you, but when I look long and hard and dare to be honest with myself, there is also an ugliness within. I don't like to admit it. I don't like to see it. But it is there. I'm capable of hurt and lies and selfishness and lust and cruelty and jealousy and greed. And I guess I'm not alone. You see, our relationships with ourselves and with one another are far from perfect, far as we really want them to be. And that is because the Bible says our relationship with God is broken. And so Jesus is such good news of great joy for all people. Because God doesn't send Jesus saying, scrub up and save yourself. No, he sends Jesus saying, I'm coming down to save you. It's that second part of the announcement there in Luke chapter 2. Why was it such good news? The angels declared. It's because today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. See, someone once said that if humanity's greatest need had simply been for information, God would have sent an educator. If it was money, he'd have sent an economist. If technology, a scientist. But it wasn't. Humanity's greatest need is his forgiveness. And so God sent our Savior. The Bible is unashamed in saying we need God's forgiveness. And some of you here might well say, no, we really don't. And others might well say, well, that's what God does, isn't it? He just will forgive. But others, and perhaps you're one of them, might be thinking, you know, that is my greatest need. I can see that. And if Jesus offers to meet it, then I really want to meet him. I heard of a man who gave a series of university talks to undergraduates about the claims of Christ. And just before one of his evening talks, a young woman walked into the lecture theatre on campus in the college where he was speaking. And she'd snuck in at the back and was visibly upset and angry, very agitated. But she hung around in the back row. And the speaker clocked her, turned to the colleague and said, do you know who that is? He said, yes, everybody knows who she is. She is the college wild child. Well, anyway, the speaker hopped up and in his talk explained who Jesus was and why Jesus came. God himself stepping into our skins and into human history. Explained how Jesus lived a perfect life. How you read the Gospels and see he loves the unlovely. How Jesus was miraculous in power and yet on purpose headed to his death on a cross. And clearly there, dying not for his wrongdoing, but for ours. Taking full responsibility for all our mess, he would take all God's anger at all of our sin, which is what we all deserve. And yet by trusting that Jesus died and rose, we can be brought back to God. Greatest need met and deepest longing fulfilled. Well, the next day, the woman came back. She was no longer angry, and I'm told, visibly different. And she said to the speaker, you know, I have lived doing what I wanted, when I wanted, with whoever I wanted. I should be so happy, and yet I feel guilty as hell. And so I listened to you last night and thought, you know, I want to know the Jesus you know. But I'm pretty sure he won't want to know me. But it's clear from what you said, he really does. And that is why he really came. And so I have spent all last night crying. Not with sadness, but with the deepest joy I've ever known. Well, friends, as I close, what do you want? Not from Lidl, but from life. Jesus wants you and me to know a profound joy, deepest longing fulfilled, greatest need met. And many of us here at Christchurch know that joy. Be clear, our lives are far from perfect and problem-free, but we celebrate because we know our Savior and long for you to know him too. If you're someone who'd like to know Jesus, by all means, get in touch. I'm only ever too pleased to talk that through. If you'd like to think more about Jesus, please take this ever so small Christmas gift from us, a copy of a Luke's Gospel, inside a little tract, a little booklet here written by a friend of ours, just explaining the Christmas story from another angle. Take them away. Have a read. Have a reflect. Have a think. Do come back and ask. If you'd like to hear more about Jesus, then please do come back. You'll see on your service sheets, I've put mine down somewhere, but on the back there's a couple of opportunities to do that in January. And also we've put some little cards in the back of your Gospels. Do just fill those out if you like. There's a box as you leave. Johnny will tell us more. If you want to stay in touch, find out more, we would love to do so. But as we close, before we sing again, it just remains for me to say thank you again for very much for coming. Thank you for listening. We wish you all a very, very happy Christmas. And we do hope and pray that we have played a part in something of your spirit of Christmas. But more importantly, that you would know the spirit of Christ.